come upstairs. There is childcare available for the younger kids for that program as well. So lots happening with children and youth today. Please take time to sign the friendship registers that you'll find in the inside pew so that we may keep you up to date on the many changing things in the life of this congregation in these days with our Providence Publicist Weekly newsletter or other information and ways to connect with you. Please take note of the announcements that you'll find in the bulletin on the calendar for this week. Particularly on Friday, our 20s and 30s will be gathering. And this is a program that was referenced in our newsletter as well that is open to anyone over 20s and 30s too. Bring a snack to share, but please let Kevin and Hilda know that you are coming to that as well. Next weekend is another really big week in the life of Providence Presbyterian Church as we will be celebrating our Jamboree for Zambia concert on Saturday. We still could use a lot of help for that. You'll see blue sign-up sheets in the Hope Room with information about how you can be involved or talk to me, Jenny Surgner, get tickets to sell to the concert, and share in helping make this an amazing outreach to our community as well as a fundraiser for Chisefu Theological School. Are there any other announcements this morning? Yes, Bill.
Good.
Thank you.
Good morning, PBC. How are you?
Good morning.
I am helping to organize the annual AIDS Walk again this year. So it's on September 27th. That's a Saturday in 2 weeks. It's at 9 a.m. Meet on the State House lawn. We'd love to have, the last couple of years, we've had great groups from PPC. I do have a limited number of t-shirts this year as well for those that sign up first. So Glenn Ramsey is going to help organize the PPC crew with myself. We'll have a sign-up sheet after service, so just sign up to give us sort of an estimate of how many people will show up. There'll be free food, there'll be music, there'll be a flatbread pizza for free. So come join us. It's a 2.5 mile walk around Providence. It will end by noon, so it's a couple hours in the morning. There'll be a couple speakers there. I think the governor should be there, some of the other politicians. So it'll be a fun time, and there'll be lots of stuff to do as well.
Great.
So thank you. Please join us.
Let us then prepare to worship God. Please join with me in the responsive call to worship. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Behold, our God is a creator. God brought the Hebrews through the Red Sea to freedom and new life. Behold, our God is a creator and a redeemer. God whispers to us, inspires us, and gives us purpose. Behold, our God is a Holy Spirit. Let us worship God, the one who is one in three, three in one. The Apostle Paul tells us that there is no distinction between all who believe through faith in Jesus Christ, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Let us come to God humbly in prayer in this time, then, confessing our sin and brokenness, that we might receive the gift of forgiveness. Let us pray first in silence, then confess together. God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Moses, God of our mothers and fathers, you are a God who acts in history, working to free the oppressed. Yet we confess that we are too busy with our own lives to perceive you at work in our times. We fall into despair about our troubled world, as if you do not care for us. Forgive our lack of faith and help us join you as you labor to bring freedom and new life to us and this world. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. We are saved through faith. It is not of our own doing, but a gift from God, unexpected, poured out in the life and sacrifice of Christ. Friends, we are a forgiven people. Let us respond with praises in song.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. During this time of our worship service, we share our joys and concerns. Are there any that anybody would like to share this morning?
Dave. My name's Dave. I'm fairly new to the church. And about a month ago, back in Philadelphia, where I just moved from, a friend's mom actually tried to kill herself, and she's okay. She's physically going to be okay, but we're all praying for that. You know, she realizes her family loves her, and she wants to stay around. And then my father has to have a procedure in a couple weeks. He may have bladder cancer, not sure, so praying for my parents as well.
I'd like to ask prayers for, continued prayers for grandparents, Bob and Ann Beck. My grandma is still, she's had chemotherapy all summer long, and it's not looking super getting really good right now, but grandpa's getting really, they're both getting frustrated, and so just prayers for hope for them and move them. And as they move forward, and prayers for my mother, Linda Surgenor. Her dog almost died this week, and her dog is her best friend, and for her. So that was very traumatic for her.
I'd ask for prayers for all of the teachers who have dedicated themselves to be instructors in the Sunday school this year. These are a group of people who love your children, and I just ask for strength and continued dedication for those teachers.
I'd just like to ask for prayers for my Uncle Hans in Germany, Hans Bach, who had a stroke and doesn't sound like it's going very well. The translation I got was he's going to be coming home for some short-term nursing, which sounds to me like hospice. So it doesn't sound like there's too much left. Thanks.
I'd like to ask prayers for Walter's family as they go through the grieving process. He had 8 children and their spouses and 17 great-grandchildren and 13 great-grandchildren.
Today is my mom's birthday.
Prayers for, thank you all for your prayers. I was awaiting a liver transplant.
Tomorrow is Josie's birthday, so prayers for Thanksgiving.
Let us pray. Into the still world, O God, you came, and you come still, day by day, moment by moment, bringing hope, strength, and love to all your people. We confess, O God, that our world seems at time to not show forth that grace, and we are challenged to see you at work. And yet you call us forth still to you in steadfast love and presence, to remember your promises, to see glimpses of hope, to inspire wisdom and good decision-making. We pray for the people of Liberia and throughout West Africa, for the continuing Ebola crisis, for family and friends known to us, for Zach Sharp and his work with the government there and the separation from his family, for the mom family here noted on the front page of our papers in Providence in the loss of their loved one. Lord, may your healing come to stop deeds of hatred and violence, to bring healing in all dimensions, whatever their source and need, to bring true peace in the Middle East and war and tumult. We give thanks, O God, for the gift of Nancy Collins and Dr. Chalenji in our midst, and pray your strength for them as their speaking tour throughout Connecticut continues this week. We thank you for houses who have opened up to them, churches who have heard the message and power of teaching and leading your new disciples in the faith in these weeks. We pray for the fruits of the concert that have been long in the planning stages next week, and for all who have offered gifts of time, talent, and money to support. We thank you, O God, for the work of this church in a new season, in teaching disciples of all ages, for strength and energy, imagination, enthusiasm, and love, for the time and talents of so many who bring your word to our youngest and all ages in this church. We thank you for the work of our pastor nominating committee so near to calling Siobhan as pastor. Inspire energy and love that your witness in this place may continue, and bless them with your energies as they complete the tasks before them. We thank you, O God, for your blessings, for Gina's birthday and Josie's birthday, for the joys and blessings of our lives that are spoken and unspoken. We know, O Lord, that you are in the midst of all things. We pray, O Lord, this day as well for those who grieve, for Walter's family and for Judy in these days as his services approach on Tuesday. May they speak to the power you have to bring healing and peace, even in the midst of death, and may their time together be a blessing. We pray for those places still in need of healing in our lives, for those who have faced long-time unemployment, searches for affordable housing, for those struggling with illness of body, mind, or spirit, for family and marriage issues. We pray for those who deal daily with the struggles of addiction and mental illness, for those who are suffering weakening of body and pain in these days. We pray for Hans, for my parents, for Dave's father in these weeks ahead, for Jenny's grandparents and her mother, Linda, for Jim in surgery this morning. Help us, O God, to live as your disciples in your will for our lives, the lives of this community and our world, through the power of Christ who teaches us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
It is time for the children to come forward.
Thank you. think that's what Jesus is telling us we're supposed to do, though. We're supposed to forgive, even though people hurt us. And you know what? No matter how many times we're bad, no matter how many times we sin, God keeps forgiving us. Jesus keeps forgiving us no matter how many times we're bad, no matter how many times we're bad at people or do things we shouldn't do. Jesus just keeps forgiving us. And I could just keep pouring this until it just flows over, but then I have to pick it all up. And I don't want to do that. But that's the idea. Jesus just keeps giving and giving. Forgive flows over until it just flows for all of us. And you know when we sing holy, holy, holy,
our middle schoolers are excused to go upstairs, and our age three through kindergarten downstairs to the Godly Play classroom, and first through five grades in the We Believe classroom.
Good morning. Let's take a moment to pray for illumination. Lord, please help us to take a few minutes to put aside the busyness, the stress, the distractions of our daily lives. Help to quiet our minds and open our hearts that we may receive your word to obey your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Exodus, chapter 14, verses 19 through 31. As part of that marvelous, amazing story of Moses leading the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. The angel of God, who was going before the Israelite army, moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from in front of them and took its place behind them. It came between the army of Egypt and the army of Israel, and so the cloud was there with the darkness, and it lit up the night. One did not come near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. The Israelites went into the sea on dry ground, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went into the sea after them, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and chariot drivers. At the morning watch, the Lord, in the pillar of fire and the cloud, looked down upon the Egyptian army and threw the Egyptian army into panic. He clogged their chariot wheels so that they turned with difficulty. The Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the Israelites, for the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and chariot drivers." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at dawn the sea returned to its normal depth. As the Egyptians fled before it, the Lord tossed the Egyptians into the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the chariot drivers and the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the Israelites walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great work that the Lord did against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord and believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. The New Testament reading is from Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as 7 times?" Jesus said to him, "Not 7 times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, and as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves, who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave, as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." This is the word of the Lord.
Remember a movie about Ten Commandments, and Charlton Heston led the Israelites.
follow the times in Scripture where we read about you, about water. Water covers the face of the deep. And God, creation, separates water from water. God separates light from dark. And in this passage, we have an angel of God and that terror of cloud moving behind Israelite people.
Will you please join me in the affirmation of faith as printed in the bulletin, projected above, from the Confession of 1967. The risen Christ is the judge of all people. His judgment discloses the ultimate seriousness of life and gives promise of God's final victory over the power of sin and death. To receive life from the risen Lord is to have life eternal. To refuse life from him is to choose death, which is separation from God. All who put their trust in Christ face divine judgment without fear, for the judge is their redeemer. Let us now thank and praise God for all of his blessings, for his freedoms, by bringing forth our tithes and offerings. Lord, please accept these gifts that we bring forth with gratitude and with love. Please use them as you will to better your will in our community and beyond. Amen.
Thank you. Go forth and let the Spirit set your hearts on fire for the Lord. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, and let you all say, Alleluia. Amen. Amen.